Let's pray together. Father, it's so good to be here with your people, with your word. Lord, show us what is true and right and good. By your spirit, awaken us to truth and show us Jesus this morning. Show us what matters this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was in a store in Baton Rouge that specializes in party supplies, doing my diligence to go and find a part of my outfit for trunk or treat tonight. And as I walk through the store and look around and am overcome with the realization that our culture loves death. Most everything that you see there had to do with dying, dead people. You could buy a gallon of blood to decorate your house or your body or whatever you wanted to with. There were multiple ways to kill other people hanging there on the wall. And I thought, our culture loves death. We have a people in my neighborhood by the plenty with tombstones in their yard and people that want to hurt you inflated in their yard. We live in a culture that is infatuated with death, and we even have a holiday that our world likes to celebrate death. And it's coming up this week. And as I think about that, I also thought about the scripture. Because not once, not twice, not three times, but many times, Jesus talked about his impending death. He didn't have a gallon of blood for you to decorate your costumes with, but he did have powerful blood in which to save a people with. This morning, if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open up to the book of Matthew. We're going to be hopping through the Gospels somewhat, and I realize that I may be a little ahead of you in your reading, but as I'm working through the Gospels, I'm hitting themes that hit out to me as I read, and I might read something in one Gospel and say, that's what I want to hit this week, and so it might bring me to other parts of the Gospels. And I know we're reading through the story of redemption, and my goal this year has been to tie our messages into the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. That Jesus came to redeem and purchase and make right a people. Matthew chapter 12, we're going to begin in verse 39 this morning. And I have a question to begin. And this one is one that I want you to think about for a moment. Why did Jesus talk about his coming death? Why did Jesus talk about his coming death? We're going to read through this morning. He does it multiple times. He wants people to know that he's going to die. And even in the Gospels, we have several times in which the Gospel writers want you to know that he wanted them to know that he was going to die. Why? Why was that important for Jesus to communicate that he was going to die? Is it so people could think he was a fortune teller? That he had a crystal ball and why? Is it so that people wouldn't be caught off guard when Jesus died and they wouldn't be shocked and have a panic attack? Why did Jesus want people to know that he was going to die? I have some hypotheses. hypotheses, maybe, that I'll put before you and my thoughts in walking through. Anybody remember what we talked about last week, the message last week? It had a very unique title last week. Boss. Jesus is the boss. That's right. Jesus was in charge. Jesus is in charge. But he had been given all authority in heaven and earth. And I think this plays into why Jesus was telling people that he was going to die. He was telling them, and you're going to see several times, it's not that they took him by storm. They caught him off guard. That they finally tricked him enough to catch him in a trap. But it's that Jesus was letting them know that he was laying down his life. That he was indeed giving his life. No one was taking it away from him. And so he said, I'm going to suffer. I'm not going to stop the hammer from falling on me. But I think there's also more. I very much think that's part of it. But I think there's more to it as well. I believe that Jesus wanted his followers to know that his purpose, his mission, was bigger than just living. Put that in our culture today, church. Put that in our culture today. Millions and millions, if not billions of dollars are spent every year in hospitals and in doctors' offices and in medicine, drugs, treatments, therapy, physical therapy, all of these things in order to keep us what? Alive. And we praise God for that. I am in no way criticizing that. That's a good thing. Very good thing. Because without that, my wife would be dead today. Because she was bleeding internally with a pregnancy. She would die. I'm thankful for that. But Jesus wants us to know. And he wanted his followers to know. And he told them again and again. There's something bigger than life. There's something bigger than life. And in fact, I'm going to die and show you there's more than just living. There's greater purpose. Matthew chapter 12, verse 39, we'll begin there. But he answered them, and he's talking to the scribes and Pharisees, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign. But no sign will be given to them except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. This is one of Jesus' veiled references, if you will, to him dying and being 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, or in the grave. You can consider it that way. Jesus was speaking of his own death and resurrection. Now, you remember the story of Jonah. We happen to be talking about it on the way to church this morning. But Jonah was one who disobeyed God, who was cast by sailors into a tomb of tumultuous waters, was swallowed by a great fish. And somebody asked me this morning on the way to church, didn't Jonah pray while he was inside of the fish? Yes. Yes, he did. And then Jonah was sent back to shore to bring the message of repentance to a people who needed to repent. And Jesus says, that was a sign, but that was telling you about me. Because I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to be put in the grave, and rise again in order to bring redemption to a people that need it. Do you need it? Are you one who needs redemption by the Savior? More than that, that's Matthew 12. Let's go forward to Matthew 16. And this is where things start to heat up even more. Matthew 16, verse 21. Y'all help me out here. From the time that Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and what? Suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and what?
Be killed.
And on the third day, raised. Well, that sounds very similar to what happened four chapters ago. Jesus says, I'm going to die and I'm going to be raised. He began to show his disciples these things, it says in verse 21. And Peter comes and says, Lord, stop that. Come on now. We got a kingdom to raise. We got work to do. We got stuff to do here. Rome. You know, you're the king. What you're talking about? Die. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus. Did you hear that? Peter rebuked Jesus, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Now, I've been rebuked oftentimes, and people come to me. I do a lot of teaching, and you know, there are times I mess up, say things I shouldn't say. I've had faithful sisters and brothers come to me and say, looking here now. I've been rebuked. But this is in a whole another world. Jesus being rebuked, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Now watch this. This is big. Watch this. But Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me. Back off. Stop it, Peter. I mean, Satan. In other words, you've got learning to do, boy. You better back off right now. Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance for me. You are stopping the work that's more important. Don't tell me I'm not going to die. I'm going to die. I've got a reason to die. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. I don't want to live, is exactly what Jesus is saying. Not in a negative sense, in the most positive sense that could be. I have greater purpose than just living. Breathing is not my ultimate goal. Think about that, church. Death. We're in a culture of death. We celebrate as a culture. Death. In fact, you can read the news and find out how beautiful death is and what music you should be listening to while you kill yourself. It's out there. There's a whole culture that loves it. There's a multi-million-dollar horror movie industry that makes money off of showing people die. But that's not the kind of death that Jesus is celebrating here. Right? We got to know that. That is not the kind of death that we as Christians should celebrate. We celebrate death. Yes, we do. But it's the death of the one that brings us life. Not the gory, ghoulish, what's the word I'm looking for? Not the twisted form of death. It's the death that brings life. Because God is about life. And he wants to bring life to a people. Eternal life. Not just breathing and hearts beating. Not this distorted celebration of death that only comes from the evil one. And that's where Jesus is going. Get behind me, Satan. You don't have your mind on the things of God. Jesus has his mind on the things of God. So church, Christian, listen to me. Are you focused on the things of God? Is your mind on the things that are greater than breathing? I'll give you an example. Today, we will host many guests and many people on our campus. My goal is not to fill their bag with sugar. My goal is to fill their minds with Jesus. Amen. And we as a church are gathering together, and sure, we'll put sugar in your sack. And sure, we'll play a game and let you shoot a Nerf gun or find a hidden object or throw a ping pong ball. Yeah. Let's go. Have fun. But church, if we're here today and we don't talk about Jesus, we've missed the point.
Amen.
We've missed the point. Because every body that walks on this campus is going to die. Everybody. And some are going to die this year. And some are going to die next year. And some are going to die 79 years from now. And we have an opportunity today, October 27th, 2019, to show them Jesus. We have words, and words matter, don't they? We need to use our words. We have trunks and posters. Posters matter because we can show them the truth. We have hot dogs. I'm not going to say hot dogs matter. I'm not going to say it. But we have people there handing food and saying Jesus' name. You'll be here tonight. Our mind needs to be on the things of God. Not just on, did I get enough chili on that hot dog? But do they see Jesus in us? Do they know about Jesus now? I'm parking your car out on our wet grass because I want you to know Jesus. And I love it. I love it. Eon, I don't know if you're in here, wherever you are, coach. But he told me yesterday, he said, we're going to mess up our front grass. And he said, but it's all right. We're going to put some dirt in it and we'll be okay. Because they're going to hear about Jesus. Amen. Coach, amen. Let's mess up our grass for Jesus. Let's mess up our parking lot for Jesus. Let's put some chili on a Frito for Jesus. And let's talk about Jesus. If you're walking around today, let's talk about Jesus. Let's ask people questions. And let me give you one. Let me give you a question. I shared this with a couple of our men. Here's a question I want you to ask people tonight. Do you believe that Jesus died and rose again? Here's another way to put it. Do you believe that Jesus really was raised from the dead? Do you really think that Jesus was dead for 3 days? And you can ask somebody that question. You can say, look, my pastor told me this morning in church that Jesus died for 3 full days, like was in decay mode, and then rose. Do you believe that's true? And that can get a conversation started with someone. You really believe in the resurrection? Or is that just something make believe? And it gets you thinking and it gets people thinking about who Jesus really is. Jesus said he would die and Jesus said he would rise again. You believe that? Have conversations tonight about meaningful things. Because remember, everybody that walks and parks and gets a piece of candy from you, they're going to die. They're going to die. And if we don't promote eternal life in Jesus' name? Is their car mechanic going to do it? Is their dentist going to do it? The church's job to do it. It's our job. Yeah. Give them Jesus today. Give them Jesus. All right. Back to Matthew. Jesus said, I'm going to die. Peter says, no, Lord. Jesus says, back off, Peter. Yes, I am. And I'm supposed to, and I want to, because there's something bigger than breathing. And then later in that chapter, verse 24, just a couple verses later, he says, and here's your perspective with this. I'm going to die, and I'm planning on it. Verse 24, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his own cross. Let him die. And let him follow me. Because your life is bigger than breathing, than living. Your purpose, your goal is, it's larger than life. And today on our campus and tomorrow at work, our purpose is larger than breathing. Verse 25, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You got it? For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he lives all lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of days and he forfeits his soul? What shall a man give in return for his soul? I enjoy watching college football, as many of you are aware. The SEC has a slogan. If you watch the SEC network, you've seen it or you know. Does anybody know the slogan that the SEC network uses? Anybody? What is it, Eli? It just means more. My son. Work, son. Say it loudly because our church can hear, because lots of people don't care about football.
It just means more.
Yeah. The SEC is the conference, and their slogan is, it just means more. So I'm ripping off the SEC and saying, I like college football, but it doesn't really matter. Eternally, it doesn't really matter. And I'm going to take that slogan and say, it just means more. And I'm going to say that when Jesus speaks, and he gives us this, you deny yourself, you die to yourself, and you come and follow me. I'm going to tell you this. Today, church, it just means more that they know about Jesus than they have milk duds. Go ahead. Go out on a big limb here. Jesus means more than milk duds. He does, Evan. He does. More than milk duds. It's true. It just means more that we somehow connect to people and give them Jesus than giving them Nestle Crunch. It just means more. And so think about that tonight when you're here, and I hope everybody in this room is here tonight. Because we don't just need trunks, we need the church. One person heard me, and he's nodding his head. One person. We don't just need trunks. We need the church tonight. And so come and show people Jesus. It means more to give them Jesus, because Jesus came and he said, now here's your perspective. I died to bring life. Your job is to die yourself and show them the life that I'm giving. So that's how we translate this into our culture and our day to day. Jesus died, and he wanted to. Let's go to the next chapter. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verse 22. One chapter ahead. Look at the developing story here in Matthew. And they were gathering in Galilee. Jesus said to them, the Son of Man, Jesus speaks, the Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will what? They will kill him. And they will kill him. And he will be raised on the third day. You notice? You notice a trend here? And a third time in Matthew chapter 20, verse 17. Themes. Look for themes in the scripture. They're there. Matthew wants us to know this. Matthew 20, verse 17. And Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, and he took the 12 disciples aside. And on the way, he said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem. Guess what? I just told you twice. I'll tell you again. And the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles and be mocked and flogged and crucified. And guess what? And he will be raised on the third day." Jesus is giving them something that means something. I am a teacher. My wife is a teacher. Several of you in this room are teachers. Brother Bill, one of the greatest teachers, if not the greatest, we've had in this church. There's a mechanism of teaching that every teacher, every good teacher, I should say, every good teacher uses. And you know what that method is?
Repetition.
Repetition. Repetition. You see what I did there? Repetition. Over and Jesus is doing to make an emphasis, to say this means more. Eli, this means more. I'll say it again. And I'll say it again. I say certain things to my family all the time. I say things like, life is better. Somebody help me out. When you do the right thing. I say things to repeat them because they're important things that I want my children to remember. And Jesus is doing the same, using the same method here. I'm going to die. And I'm going to be raised. This is part of the story. Don't miss it. It's important. I'm repeating it because I want you to know that it's coming. And my life is more than just breathing. It's about redemption and the story of redemption. Jesus, again, after he gives them this message, he gives them more perspective. In chapter 20, just a few verses later, in 25, Jesus called to them and said to them, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant." More perspective from Jesus. I'm giving this, and I want you to be servants, just like I'm being a servant to die for my people. And then he continues, "And whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as," or just like this, "even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve," and here it is, "and to die." I'm going to die. I'm going to give my life as a ransom for many. I'm going to give my life as a payment for many. I'll throw this one out to you just to ponder. If Jesus gave his life, what should our response be in our lives? We are his after all. Shouldn't it be very similar in the way that we give our lives? Oh, there's so much more to go through. Let me close with this story. His continued theme of I'm going to die. I want you to know I'm going to die. I want you to know that I'm going to be raised. I want you to know that it's bigger than breathing. There are big things that happen here. We've seen it throughout history of many martyrs have given their life for the faith. I read this week a Bible translator in Cameroon, in Africa, died this week. People are dying for their faith. People are dying for their faith because life There's more to life than just breathing. It's more than just breathing. Let me give you a story that Jesus taught. Matthew 21, one chapter later, beginning of verse 33. Hear another parable, Jesus says. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard. And he put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get its fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Y'all got the story so far? Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, the master of the vineyard sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, hear the motivation. Hear the motivation that Jesus is telling these scoundrels who were stealing what is not theirs. Look what he's telling them. They said to themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance. And they took them and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? And they said to him, well, he'll put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruit of their seasons. You see what Jesus has done here? He's given them a story of someone who came and was killed. This is Jesus telling, this is coming. I'm going to die, but that's not the end. And that's another sermon for another day. But look what Jesus says in verse 42. Jesus said, have you never read the scriptures? Don't you know what the Bible says? The scriptures say? Wasn't the Bible back then, but don't you know what the scriptures say? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Isaiah, one of those servants in my story, he told you this, that the cornerstone, the stone that the builders rejected, is the cornerstone. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. Look at verse 43. Let me highlight this and use this as a closing remark to you. Therefore, I tell you, help me out, church. The what?
Kingdom.
The kingdom of God. Kingdom of God's going to be what?
Taken away
from the scoundrels who tried to steal the kingdom for themselves. We know the first century application of this. The religious who tried to steal the kingdom of heaven away and make it their own. And what they do with Jesus. Tried to kill him. They did. The kingdom of heaven will be taken away from you and given to a people. What, church? Have you grasped what Jesus is giving us here? Let me say it like this. If you are a true son or daughter of the kingdom, do you know how you know? That's right, Jeff. Tell everybody. How do you know if you are a true son or daughter of the kingdom? What do?
Bear fruit.
You bear fruit. Church, let me encourage you, tonight is a night to bear fruit for us. Tonight to bring seeds. Seeds of the gospel. And to water seeds that others have planted in their lives at vacation Bible school and Sunday school and at church services. And it's there for us to say, can I tell you about Jesus? Can I invite you to church Sunday? We meet here every Sunday morning. We'd love to have you come. You know, we have a ladies group that meets on Wednesday nights at 6:15. Can I invite you to come this Wednesday night and be a part with us? There are a lot of things that we can say to try to be a part of the harvesting process. Planting, watering, praying. Hey, what are your kids' names? What are your kids' names? You know, they would probably love to come to Awana on Wednesday nights. It's a ministry we have here every week. Oh, you have teenagers too? Don't send them to youth because Tyler will mess them all up. No, don't say that. We've got a great youth ministry here at our church. They talk about Jesus. They learn the Bible. Love to have them be a part of that. It's more than just one night a year for us here at this church. Man, we love Jesus. We worship Jesus every... Whatever you're comfortable or even uncomfortable saying to people, let's do it because we need to be a people bearing fruit. We are fruit workers in the kingdom of God. And that's the message for you. If you're not a Christian, if you're not part of the kingdom, if you're not bearing fruit, Jesus came to die for all who would believe in his name, repent, be saved, and become followers of him. He says, my blood covers your sin. If you're not a believer, if you're not a follower, I encourage you to look into Jesus. To look, read what he says and to respond. If you're a Christian today, I encourage you, how can you bear fruit? And start today. How can you bear fruit today? Jesus saves. Amen. Let's bring the message to our people tonight. Jesus saves. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us that your life was more about breathing. More than just breathing, I should say. And Lord, our lives are more than just about breathing. We're about bearing fruit. Lord, inspire us, stir us, get us ready for an opportunity we have not only tonight, but in the next week and in the next year to bear fruit, to show Jesus, and to make our lives more than just breathing. Make them about the kingdom of God. Lord, for any souls in this room this morning who have not given their lives to you, who have not taken up their cross and died to themselves and follow you, I pray, Lord, that you transform souls this morning and draw people to Jesus. Give them repentance, repenting of sin and turning to Jesus. Lord, help us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.